gray-clad rebel skirmishers materialized like ghostly apparitions in the cedar breaks fronting Johnson's division, hesitated until a double line of infantry marching shoulder to shoulder was a step behind them, and then the whole lot bore down on the sleeping Yankees. Advancing on an extended front, the two rebel infantry divisions simply swept through and over everything before them. Several frontline Union batteries were captured without their cannoneers firing a single round. Those bluebellies managing to cluster behind outcroppings of rock and within clumps of cedar quickly found themselves outflanked left and right. Facing death or certain capture, they broke for the rear, tossing away their weapons in the interest of greater speed afoot.
To horse! To horse!
The immediate need to be in the saddle galvanized the 2nd Brigade into a disciplined response that wasted not a precious second. A lesser reaction would have had them fighting with pistol and saber on the ground at a numerical disadvantage, negating their value as a mobile force and rendering them inconsequential. A quick scan of the battlefield by Jacob confirmed at least half of Johnson's division was dead, wounded, or out of action. Confusion reigned, and a wave of panic threatened to engulf the entire right wing of the Union Army. The arrival of General Joe Wheeler and his Confederate cavalry added more manpower to the rebel attack. Though the Graybacks held the upper hand in numbers, a steadfast Union officer rallied a regiment in a pile of jumbled boulders, and their withering fire slowed the Confederate advance for vital minutes, allowing numbers of backpedaling bluebellies to obey their pleading officers, turn about, form lines, and return enemy fire before being driven back again. The flow of the fight curved westward around the fortified boulders into a large cotton field, exposing Johnson's division to slashing attacks by General Wheeler's rebel cavalry. The 1st Ohio quartered in that direction in an attempt to stay the ever-turning right flank until the Confederate tide could somehow be stemmed. By chance, Cam Logan was riding on Jacob's left when a horseback volley by Wheeler's cavalry riddled the front ranks of the approaching 1st Ohio. The saddle next to him emptied. When he looked down, Cam Logan was sprawled among white cotton bowls, holding the side of his head with blood leaking between his fingers. The 1st Ohio swung about. Jacob started to turn and follow his fellow troopers. One glance told him Wheeler's graybacks were forming up to charge. It would probably be the death of him, or a stretch in a rebel prison camp if he failed. But he wasn't leaving Cam Logan behind. He wasn't deserting a true fighting man who had never failed his regiment. Jacob jumped from the saddle. In a stroke of pure luck, the reins of Logan's horse were trapped beneath him. Jacob freed the reins and kept a tight grip on them, while he grabbed the front of Logan's shirt and yanked him to his feet and shook him.
Captain, can you hear me?
Yes.
Grab your horse's mane!
Jacob guided Logan's hand until it touched the hair of the mane. Jacob lifted his left foot into the stirrup, grabbed the back of his belt, put a shoulder under his left hip, and heaved. His grip on the belt kept Logan from sliding off the horse's opposite flank.
Grab the mane with both hands and stay in the saddle!
Then Jacob mounted his chestnut. Ignoring an enemy now within pistol range, he digged the chestnut into a fast walk, glanced over his shoulder, saw Cam Logan lumped in the saddle with both arms wrapped around his horse's neck, and gigged the chestnut into a gallop. The recalled 1st Ohio had come about again to face their adversaries in front of a cedar forest, and once they recognized Jacob's plight, fired a volley to dissuade his pursuers. Jacob spied the white canvas of a Union ambulance among Johnson's regrouping division at the edge of the trees behind the 1st Ohio and rode straight for it. Dismounting, he helped a medic ease Logan from the saddle. The ambulance was chock full of wounded men, as were the stretchers surrounding it, so Jacob and the medic propped Cam Logan against the rear wheel. The medic felt alongside Logan's head above his right ear.
I'm not a doctor, but I think the bullet just grazed him. There's always a lot of blood with head wounds. He might be dizzy for a few days. Otherwise, he should be okay.
Jacob swung into the saddle. Rejoining the 1st Ohio, it was obvious the bluebelly situation had grown even more desperate. The Confederates had wrestled cannon forward despite the boulder-strewn terrain. The remaining grayback infantry was massing again, and Wheeler's cavalry companies were forming on the right flank for another charge. The whole right wing of Rosecrans's army was in danger of collapsing and opening a lane to the Nashville Turnpike for the rebels. Jacob spied Colonel Milliken in the forefront of the 1st Ohio. With Captain Logan out of commission, he sought new orders from his superior officer. He trotted to within hearing distance of Milliken and slowed the chestnut to a walk. Colonel Minor Milliken, his usual composed self, assessed the situation and realized that he must act at once or his regiment would be stampeded from the field and crushed by the overwhelming force of an enemy flushed with the smell of victory.
Private Patterson, please inform the other regiments of the brigade. I would appreciate their supporting a charge by the 1st Ohio. Draw saber!
There was no time to tighten girths or check the status of revolvers.
Charge!